Jerusalem under siege. The rulers were self-serving and corrupt. They were forsaking the Lord and causing the people to seek other gods and worship idols. There was no safety, no security, no place to hide. So amid these trials, Micah proclaims a message of hope. From a small backwater town called Bethlehem, a leader will arise. That leader will establish a kingdom of peace, justice, and mercy. The kingdom that Micah prophesied is not the life we live when we get to heaven. It is a kingdom of this world for all people. The people are not to sit by waiting for the leader and his kingdom to appear. Instead, Micah instructs the people to demonstrate the characteristics of the kingdom in their everyday lives and prepare for its coming. This morning, our meditation will focus on God's desire that in the lives of his people, in the lives for us today, we would demonstrate justice, kindness, and humility. We open in prayer. Father, help us now as we meditate on your word. Speak to each of us through your Holy Spirit that we might understand, believe, and live in the light of your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's first desire in verse 8, do justice. God's kingdom was established by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ. He called his people to repent, to change their perspective on life, to change your perspective on life, and live in the reality of God's kingdom. We do this by first experiencing God's justice and mercy in our own lives, and after that, sharing this same justice and mercy with everyone we come in contact with. There is justice in God's kingdom, but it is different than the justice we imagine from a holy and righteous God. We expect justice to be wrongdoers punished and the righteous rewarded. You will hear these principles voiced by religious leaders, but they are not, however, the foundation of God's kingdom. In his life and ministry, Jesus taught and demonstrated that all people have value. All people are children of God. Jesus touched the lepers and healed them. Jesus associated with women and even welcomed them to be among his followers. Jesus broke down the artificial barriers created by religious leaders and reached out to include Gentiles and people who worshiped other gods. For Jesus, there was no us and them. There was only we. Jesus' death and resurrection was for all people. The writer of John's gospel proclaims in John 3:16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." I suspect each of us have experienced times in our lives when we have felt worthless. And it is a transforming experience not only to read about how Jesus gave worth to individuals, but also to experience God's affirmation and acceptance. We've also experienced times in our life when we have been excluded by our society. Whether it be friends, high school cliques, inner office politics, or maybe it's even being excluded from a group at church because we're so closely focused on the people we know. But the Holy Spirit steps in. The Holy Spirit steps into our lives to supersede our marginalization and include us. In the waters of our baptism, God has declared that we are children of God. In your baptism, you are made a child of God, included in God's family, and nothing can change that. If you open your eyes and your ears, all around us are people, both individuals and groups of people who need to hear and experience the kingdom of God in the words and the actions of each of us. God's first desire, do justice. God's second desire, love mercy. The writer of the book of Lamentations has penned these words: the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and God's mercy never comes to an end. Mercy and love are linked with God. God has declared his love for us, and nothing will change God's decision to love you or me. No matter how bad you might think you are, God loves you. God's love is demonstrated to us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. God demonstrates his love for us by providing us with food, clothing, shelter, our daily bread, all that we need. All this, Luther writes in his explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, out of fatherly and divine goodness and mercy. And even though we rebel against God, God loves you. Paul writes in his letters to the Romans, but God shows his love for us that yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You could insert your name right there. That's another one of those verses where you could insert your name. But God shows his love for David that while David was still a sinner, Christ died for me. And that's a message we sometimes forget. Experiencing God's love and mercy are life-changing experiences. Certainly we are, or should be, different because of our walk with God. In the same way, experiencing God's love and mercy through us, we can change others. We can have a life-changing experience for those we encounter. Living in hope rather than in fear of others, individuals, or groups will change our lives, change their lives, change our nation, and change the world. We experience God's love and mercy in the small, simple things. We sense God's love when we hear those words of absolution after our confession. We sense God's love in the hug from a friend. We sense God's love in a chance brief conversation with a stranger. We communicate God's love and mercy to others in a similar fashion. And at times, it does require us to step out of our comfort zone. But small steps can accomplish a great deal of things. God's first desire, do justice. God's second desire, love mercy. God's third desire, walk humbly. Micah spoke out against the king and leaders of his time. They were self-centered, self-serving, and filled with pride. The leaders used the people and only looked after their own welfare. Micah envisioned a different type of leader. His leader came from a small town of Bethlehem. He was a servant who walked humbly among his people. We see in the life of Jesus a life of service, a life of love. Jesus died a humiliating and excruciating death, choosing not to exercise his godly power and command his host of angels to fight for him. Such is the kingdom of God. People do not experience the kingdom of God through physical power, domination, or control of others, or the insistence in obtaining one's own desires. No, we clothe ourselves in humility and walk the walk of Jesus as we celebrate that we, along with everyone else, are children of God. Humility comes as we thankfully receive God's forgiveness and rejoice that God didn't turn his back on us, rejecting selfishness and pride. We live to use our gifts, our talents, and blessings for others rather than ourselves. There will be a time when we come face to face with God. There will come a time when we behold God's glory in ways that today we can't even imagine. Through faith in Jesus, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And we must acknowledge that that kingdom of God is now. As we live in today's kingdom, we demonstrate the behaviors of the kingdom by doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly. And all of this we do for God's glory. Amen. We have the opportunity to confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. Please